Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPM number 99. Friendship deepens love. We like people who are nice to us, and if they keep it up, we grow to love them. You can't expect someone to love you if you're rude, or negative, or despondent, or critical, or perfectionist, or dissatisfied, or disrespectful, or unsupportive, or apathetic, and generally no fun to be around. Your husband or wife might be dependent on you, afraid of you, attached to you, even sexually attracted to you, but they'll have a hard time loving you if you act this way most of the time. True love prefers a friendly environment where each one treats each other with respect. You can only survive the highs and lows of marriage when you live in the rich soil of deep roots that grow strong, and that's via a friendship. So the question is, would your wife say of you that you're nice to her as you are nice to your best friend? Do they feel supported by you? Do they see you as a team player? Is your attitude more positive than negative, or more negative than positive towards her? Does your wife see you smile often or not? Would your wife say, are you responsive to her or to her needs? Would your wife say you helped her through rough times? Would your wife say that your understanding nature kept the relationship friendly and made her feel safe? Would she say that you did everything you could to avoid harmful interactions between the two of you, or that you initiated in interesting conversations or helpful conversations, or that you had a pleasant disposition at home, or you accepted her flaws and her imperfections, and that you had a realistic but healthy view of your relationship with her? And you have to ask yourself, what would she say? And how do you indeed behave? It's very important to be creative about making time for one another, to lend each other a helping hand. Pat Love says a beautiful story where a couple, Nancy and Bill, and they're not Jewish, so they had a garage sale Saturday morning. And the author herself, Pat Love, went to help the wife with the garage sale that she was having. And there was the husband, hauling out furniture, moving boxes, schlepping merchandise, all before the crack of dawn. And here was the guy who worked long hours, 5 days a week, plus being on call as a plastic surgeon. And so when you're a plastic surgeon, you have every reason to keep your hands, which are responsible to make your living as a plastic surgeon, all protected. But here he was, helping his wife before he went to the hospital to make rounds, and helped her from the crack of dawn. It's another beautiful story, very sad story, where a husband's sister died, and he experienced an extreme amount of grief, because as children, the husband and his sister were extremely close, couldn't imagine life without her, and after 6 months after her death, the husband still found himself in very deep mourning. And because of his grief, he asked his wife not to celebrate his birthday, but just spend a quiet evening at home. And she respected that. She wanted to acknowledge his birthday, though, but she also wanted to address his grief and try to comfort him and help him. So the wife, with his mother's help, came up with a solution, a beautiful solution. And the wife collected an assortment of special photos of her husband and his sister who had passed away, and arranged them in a beautifully framed collage and albums, and prepared her favorite meal at home, send the two kids to the neighbors, and lit candles, and when he came home from work, they had a beautiful dinner together, and then she handed him the present, and he opened it, and it was crying, but it was a healing type of crying. It was a sharing of one another for one another. So those are beautiful stories of sensitivity, of being aligned, of looking at the relationship with a real true friendship. The interesting other story where someone, again, guy met this woman when she was working in a cosmetic counter in a department store, and the guy was a very sharp businessman, and he realized that she could be running her store herself. The woman was from a working class family with parents who devoted their lives to making sure that they, you know, that they did the best they could, but they weren't able to get a college education. And even though the woman behind the counter was very bright, she didn't recognize her own intelligence. She relied on her physical beauty, her wit, her charm to make her way through life. But this guy saw beyond that, saw the diamond in the rough, so to speak. And he helped her, financed her college education, and so on and so forth. So you see, it's just the idea of beautiful friendship and getting along with each other. And as we said, very often the biggest bracha that you can give to your children is when you and your wife are best friends. When there's friction, it causes devastation to children. Here's a very, very poignant story about Pat Love herself. This should really wake us up. She said that years ago she was working with a mother and a father and three children who had come to her for family therapy. So I'll say this in the first person, as Pat Love herself is saying this. They were having all kinds of problems with the children, but it was clear to me that much of the stress in the family was coming from the husband's and wife's unfriendly attitude towards each other. At one point in the session, I got the idea to turn to the 6-year-old daughter for input. So he says, Sarah, what would you like to change about your family? Now, the other four looked at me, surprised that I would consult the youngest member for advice. Then they looked at Sarah, who was ready with her answer. Sarah said, well, it hurts my feelings when everyone is yelling at our house. And a tear spilled from her eye and ran past her little quivering chin as she spoke, then looked down at the floor. And the room was silent with the truth of her statement. I just sat there and let the moment work its magic. That disclosure set a chain of events that changed the climate of this family's home. They came up with the idea that every time someone yelled in an ugly manner, the adults had to pay $1 and the kids had to pay 10 cents. And believe it or not, it worked. Creating a friendlier climate, starting with the couple, changed the environment of the family and quickly brought the therapy to a close. So hopefully we don't come to that. Hopefully we see how when we are harsh with our wives, not friendly to them, cold to them, distant, disrespectful, it hurts our children deeply. We should not be harsh towards our wives for their own sake, but we should think about our children as well. We are hurting our children every time we hurt our wives. Something to remember. Another thing that's important is having fun. And we talked about this before. You know, some say there's no such thing as recreation or fun in Yiddishkeit. And as a goal, there is none. But as a means, definitely is. There's a lot of beautiful things that are technically recreation. In Jewish history, they had poems in Jewish history. They had storytelling. In Jewish history, they had poetry, again, directed towards piyutim, music, artistic expression, and having fun. The idea of having fun, recreational intimacy, of course, it's not an end in and of itself, but if it's for the purpose of connecting, that fun is important. Friends have fun. husband and wife should have fun. Fun, healthy activities with one another. Doing jigsaw puzzles together, playing game boards together, driving down to the country, see the leaves changing, and hiking or long walks, planning vacations. If you're more, both of you are more adventurous, go scuba diving, swimming, and cooking together if you both enjoy that, boating, bicycling, whatever it is. You could really use this L'shem Shamayim for the purpose of bonding, then it's a healthy thing. If you could get a joint passion where you figure out something that you both are excited about, that would be beautiful as well. So figure out between the two of you what activity do you look forward to in eager anticipation. By the way, the answer to all of this can't be just sex, I'm sorry. Although that's good too. If you both are into that, go for it, and enjoy it. But other types of things as well. Now, when you're doing it, you lose track of time. Does it challenge you? Does it fascinate you? And so on. You think of different things that you could do together, just like friends do things together. And even though we live hectic schedules and we have a lot of responsibilities, there is a time for this as well. There's a time for this. If you both have good voices and you're musically inclined, obviously you can't have other people around, but within the family itself, then you sing together. You sing together, play instruments together, whatever it is. Whatever you could do together is a beautiful thing in a healthy way. To create a home that's a haven, that's a Ari Miklat. Shabbos is a beautiful time for that. A home that you feel is both of yours, where you both feel safe. Your wife needs to feel safe. You could disagree sometimes about things, about the way the house looks, but look at it as a home, as a real home. Make the home an Ari Miklat. Make the home a haven for you, where there's comfort there, where there's a neatness, where there's a beauty there, where there's a certain privacy there, coziness. Where home feels like home. And do everything you can between the two of you to make that environment. Whether you have a big house, a small house, it makes no difference. What your house looks like or how big it is and how small it is. But make it your own. And take pride in it. And feel that this is the place where you're with your wife, with your family. And it's a beautiful place. And with practicing Shalom, the Shechina is there. And with that, in that place, in the home, there's happiness, there's resiliency, there's energy, there's humor, there's courage. There's no criticism, no belittling, no harshness, no anger, no blame. It's Mamash and Ari Miklat. Your wife needs to feel safe in her own home. The emotional climate of the home needs to be feeling safe. Where you feel calm, not agitated, close, not distant, cheerful, not depressing, quiet, peaceful, not unhealthy noise, supportive, not unsupportive, tranquil, not angry, relaxed, not tense, accepting, not unaccepting, flexible, not rigid, pleasant, not unpleasant, friendly, not unfriendly, laid back, not rushed, comfortable, and not uncomfortable. There needs to be a certain comfort in the home. Make that a home for your wife. Make that a home for your wife. People have a mistake. They think if they're burned out, and they're burned out from their own wife, they're not. Very often, they're burned out from work. They're worn out. You may be worn out. You may be overworked. And your judgment is affected. You blame your burned-out state on your wife or on the kids. Sometimes you need a little break from the kids. It's true, and you need a little time, and you work it out, try to figure out how to parcel them out to have a vacation together. But you need recharging overall, some downtime on the work aspects could actually help enhance your marriage. So if you make your priorities straight and you stick to them, protect your time at home, maximize your time together, use and be very careful how you handle technology, and you could come a long way to have a truly, truly beautiful marriage. Bracha v'atzlacha.